Welcome to episode 216 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on February 5th, 2021. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, we dive into some news, including Microsoft Viva, an overview of IT Ops Talk event, All Things Hybrid, and some improvements coming to Azure AD. I had a pop-up on my iPad and my teleprompter, so it ended up like backwards and upside down. Hopefully it's not that it's going to restart here.
You're speaking to me through a teleprompter. This is so structured for you, this conversation, that you've been able to write it all down ahead of time, because I'm going completely freeform.
Yes, I can script out exactly what you're going to say, how you're going to respond. I'm using the new AI functionality that's in all these different cloud products to automatically predict what you are going to say based on your last sentence and my last sentence.
Gotcha. So you have found the super intelligence from the Cree, and you're able to just meld in, get that information back out, and
yes,
have this amazing life. That's kind of crazy.
You have gotten it down. No, truth be told, your video is just on the teleprompter, so I actually feel like I'm looking at you when we talk.
Oh, well, there we go, because you've got quite the setup going over there these days.
You know what? When you're just stuck at home recording videos and podcasts, and you spend all day on meetings and all of that, you get creative. Got to mix it up some. But I have. It has been a slow accumulation of purchases. Primarily because every purchase I then have to justify to the boss.
Yes. Well, it is a thing to go back to to go back to our significant others and try and get those approved.
Yeah. How'd that go last night?
We went down quite a hole this week with microphones, right? Like, we've got some new shotgun mics coming, and I needed a new USB pre. So I was able to convince my wife that spending a couple $100s on microphones and USB pre's was totally fine.
The question is, did you ask before you did it, or did you just buy it and then justify it?
No, I asked before I did it.
Not good that for bad. You. So we have our credit card company will like give us mobile alerts via the mobile app whenever a credit card charge goes through, which it's super nice from a fraud perspective, because literally 30 seconds after charge goes through, my wife and I get notifications on our phone that says so-and-so, this much was charged to the credit card here. And if neither one of us recognize it, right away it's like, oh, we got to go change our credit card number again, because we have never done that before.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that happens here in the US, right? Like, once a month, you just get a new credit card. Like,
exactly.
Whatever your primary card is, you go like, eh, oh, well.
That being said, the work credit card and our personal credit card are tied to the same one. So shotgun mics always go on the work credit card. But inevitably last night I was like, oh, new shotgun mic. And I go downstairs, hey, honey, what was that purchase on Amazon?
And
you see.
Yeah, yeah. You're in trouble.
It was a work expense.
Well,
credit card point.
We'll see how it goes. Like, YouTube videos and microphones and things like that. Mine are going to take like a week to ship. So even with Prime, I don't know which warehouse in the world they're coming out of, but we'll figure all that out over the coming weeks.
You know how Amazon does the predictive shipping? Like, they ship it to the warehouse anticipating that you're going to buy it.
Because they see me browsing for it.
Right. I probably browsed for it and they were like, oh, he's going to order it. Or he's going to order it. Figuring either you or I were going to order it. And I ordered mine first, so I probably beat you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Although, wasn't your mic going to be here? Your USB pre was going to take a while. Your mic was coming quicker, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the microphone does me no good without the USB pre.
Without the pre. See, I have the pre already. So my mic will be here Saturday. So if you could have gotten your pre sooner, we could have just recorded Saturday instead of today.
No, it's a thing.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry Software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry Software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's Cloud IT, CloudIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email.
Let's bring it back to technology, like particularly like Microsoft stuff and what's going on there.
Yes.
I have a question just because you mentioned push notifications and your credit card and things like that. I am a heavy user. I'm kind of forced into a certain ecosystem based on my employer and how things go there.
That
I have to use authentication mechanisms that involve having to occasionally get like a token on my phone, which means Azure AD Auth and Microsoft Authenticator. And we've talked about Authenticator in the past and some of the new features and functionality there. But lately, I get absolutely no push notifications from Authenticator on any device. So if I go to authenticate, like I type in my username and I go to the next screen and goes, how do you want to authenticate? I go with my phone or my token device, hit okay. Yep. And I could just sit there and wait. I will never get the push notification on any device. But the good thing is if I go and open Authenticator, because I know I just went and clicked that button on my computer, you know, then I'm good. I can Face ID in and do the app lock thing and get to where I need to be. But super inconvenient not to have the push notifications. And I don't know if it's just me, but it really hurts. Like, because now I don't get the notifications on my watch either. And I can't authenticate via my watch without the push notification.
Does that happen all the time?
I never.
Or is it random?
Nope. I have not received a push notification in like 2 weeks. And it is horrible. I'm not liking this way of living my life. Normally, I would just dump all my accounts out of Authenticator and maybe like sign back in. But there's no way I'm going to even like chance that.
So I will say I have had that where I don't get the notification at all. But for me, it is sporadic. More times than not, I get the notification. That being said, there is a very high probability based on organizations that we work for that I am on a different version of certain services and endpoints and APIs and
all the things. Yeah.
Again, it's been sporadic for me. I also don't have mine set up where it's just the push notification with, or the push notification with approve, deny. I have the whole passwordless push notification, pick the number that matches the number on the screen. So I've never been able to use my watch. I still get the notification on my watch, but I can't actually do anything from my watch. I have to go to my phone. I would assume the push notifications work the same, whether you're using passwordless or just the approve, deny one. But I don't really know, to be honest.
They should. I mean, they should all come through APNS, like Apple's push notification service, and they should just work. Like, there was some deprecation stuff that happened back in late 2020, like back in November. Apple did announce a deprecation for push notifications that used binary interfaces on iOS devices. So that would have affected like Phone Factor specifically, if anybody was still on those kind of legacy implementations. But the Authenticator app is like on the newest APNS and should just kind of work. So yeah. It must be just me. I will continue to live my life that is pretty rough without push notification support.
I agree. I'm sorry. I would give you a hug, but social distancing. So
social distancing is still a thing.
But no hugs for you. So you mentioned deprecation. You know what else is getting really close to being deprecated?
What's that?
Skype for Business Online.
Business Online is being deprecated.
Well, technically, it's already been deprecated.
It is much, much, closer.
It is well beyond deprecation. This is like push it off the edge of a cliff and it goes away for good. Is that too violent for a podcast? That was...
No, not at all.
18 months ago, July 31, 2021... I was reading this article weird. 18 months ago, they announced that July 31, 2021 would be the retirement of Skype for Business Online. So you now have 6 months as of February 1st. 6 months, get rid of Skype for Business Online, or you will be forced to get rid of Skype for Business Online. Go get Teams, enable more ways for you to come together and get things done. And while you're at it, start leveraging Microsoft Viva, which was announced yesterday and is sort of a part of Teams.
Was that just yesterday?
Yesterday morning. It has been that long of a 24 hours for you, apparently.
It's been a thing. So what is Viva?
Viva is a new employee experience program built on top of Teams.
Platform.
Platform.
Employee Experience Platform.
EXP, which seems like it was an acronym for some other things. But it has this new employee experience platform, has four different kind of pillars within it. Viva Connections, Viva Insights, Viva Learning, and Viva Topics. I mean, this is kind of an interesting announcement, and we're not going to dive into the details of some of these. Those will definitely be coming in a future episode. And I'm also working on a YouTube video, at least for topics, because currently that's the only one of these that is out and available. You can actually go purchase it, turn it on today. But the interesting thing about this, I was watching the announcement yesterday, and we can link to the video to go watch. It's just like a 30-minute product announcement with Jared Spataro and Satya Nadella. As I was watching it, I'm like, all of these look familiar. And as you dig into it, it's a new product, but all of those pillars have been kind of already announced or announced. There are other products kind of rebranded. So Viva Insights, for instance, appears to be very much workplace analytics. Viva Learning, this was, somebody else mentioned this. I didn't remember this until someone talked about it, but there was a learning management system that Microsoft announced. It was probably at least 18 months ago or so. But this has been announced and kind of teased before. But this is targeting learning, a central hub for learning where you can pull in things like LinkedIn Learning and other third-party learning systems and kind of pull a bunch of different learning platforms together into learning. Topics is using AI, and this was a part of the Cortex announcement where it's like a knowledge search, knowledge insights, where it leverages AI to pull together content across your entire platform, surface up these different topics via Microsoft Search. And Viva Connections, I am completely drawing a blank on which one that was, but I had it at one point in time. Engaged, informed, connect, focus, learn, thrive.
Viva Connections is your gateway to a modern engagement experience that is designed to keep everyone engaged and informed.
That's what this one was. This shows the new SharePoint app. So all the screenshots of Connections shows the new SharePoint app that was announced at this past Ignite. I think it was Ignite. But yeah, it's like that SharePoint home app that shows as an icon at the top of Teams in the upper left-hand corner. And they kind of talked about like you can have Yammer conversations, intelligently surface documents, show information that's important to you. It's essentially let's bubble up all this stuff that's important to you on your SharePoint homepage, on the SharePoint app that's in Teams. That's the way I interpreted all four of these. There's some good articles we'll link to if you want to go read through it. Again, as some of these roll out and I get to play with them, we'll dive into these in more detail. But that is at a high level. The also thing I have learned reading through this and reading through some of the articles, this seems to be very much an enterprise service, not something that a ton of small businesses, SMBs, it doesn't seem like that's the target market for this. As you read some of the case studies, some of how they go about explaining this, how some others have gone about explaining it, like they talk about doing this with companies that are hiring hundreds of thousands of people a year. Is one example, or yes. Thousands, tens of thousands. This doesn't really seem to be as big of a deal for those 10, 20, 50, 100, couple hundred people companies.
I think if you just consider the scale of enterprise versus SMB, something like, think about like knowledge mining, right? Being a new team member in a 20-person company is a different experience than being a new team member on a 20-person team in a 50,000-person company. There's a lot of tribal knowledge and local knowledge that you can kind of pick up along the way in smaller organizations that you often miss the context for in larger orgs because you only have like the bubble that is your team and maybe kind of sibling teams around you, right? You might be able to walk like one level up the org chart and go to the left or the right, but you start to get like you're lost in the desert pretty quick if you start to go much higher or much further out. Those products do kind of help with things like that along the way. I think it's also easier to vet that functionality works. Like if you think about like kind of building software at that scale with some of those larger customers first, right? Like iron out the kinks and see where it goes. And if you're trying to build something that integrates with say like a learning platform and you go to some of these large organizations, they're going to go, well, we use SAP SuccessFactors. Well, you use SAP SuccessFactors. So since you use SuccessFactors, let's just go ahead and build our integration around that first.
Yep.
Because you know there's going to be a market there and there's a certain segment of organizations that all just use SuccessFactors and are Microsoft customers. That one's kind of, you can see how it gets rationalized out where it is. It is one of those delineating things where you might look at this and go like, this isn't for my organization, and it might not be because it's Microsoft 365, right? And it's the platform that is supposed to be everything for everyone, but it doesn't mean that everything that is there is necessarily targeted at you.
Yep. Exactly. It sounds like this is targeted a little bit more at like HR departments. So if you're not big enough to have an HR department of more than one person, this might not be for you is probably one way to think about it. Because to your point, like I went in and I've started to stand up topics. I went out and grabbed a license for it because yes, it is a paid license, or you can go grab a trial. And I got to a certain point and I'm like, okay, I need to come up with a topic that's actually going to return content that's relevant to me with just me dumping information in. I'm like, big company, you throw in something like vacation or PTO or learning about a particular system that some other company has where there's maybe documentation in a bunch of different places that has to get pulled together. That makes sense. For me, I'm like, I don't know what topic to put in to get this to start learning and developing answers to topics. So it did. It just kind of highlighted that this is not for those small companies, and they may struggle with some of this.
There's probably something to say there. Like, again, when you think about scale, there are organizations that have HR departments with thousands of people. And in those HR departments of those thousands of people, they might actually have hundreds of developers. Have you ever worked in an organization with a massive HR department that actually dedicates developers to the HR department? Like,
I have never been anywhere close to that.
They're not part of dev. They're not part of IT. Like they are part of HR, but they're dedicated to supporting those business processes. There's a lot of other companies that have thousands of people in HR and they have no developers, but they probably should, right? They should have people directly impacting and supporting those processes. And that's where products like this can start to help and feed into like the HR process, which then ultimately can bleed downstream and impact how employees feel at their jobs. And everybody wants to feel good at their job. At least I think most of us want to feel good at our job. I can see where some of that comes in. It'll be interesting to see when it rolls out, what it looks like. I'd love to see how some of this potentially changes or impacts how I can interact across the organization like I'm a part of and some of the peer organizations that I work with.
Yep.
Should be fun. But that's all coming over like the next weeks, months, year, whatever it is.
Right.
Like you started out with, I would encourage everyone to just go watch that 30-minute video that they did for the launch. Like it does give you the rah-rah kind of marketing view of the world, but it also does explain kind of what these four pillars are between topics, connections, learning, and insights. It just does give you that little bit of an all-up sense of what's coming. Like if you're interested in it, it's a decent way to get in there.
Yep.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
We'll link another article. There's another good one that I have pulled a bunch of stuff from. Josh person. And it's a lengthy article. I mean, this is multiple pages on all of this. And apparently he's been working with Microsoft or advising Microsoft on this. According to the blog post, I've been advising Microsoft on this product for some time. Personally, I felt like this helped me wrap my head around it a lot more than the rah-rah marketing one. So I would encourage you, go watch the video like you said, and then go read this article from Josh that we'll also link to in the show notes. I think those two together will really, it helped solidify in me kind of what the play is here and where this kind of fits in.
Yeah.
So
more to come on Viva.
Yes. More to come. Definitely. And I will let everybody know when that YouTube video is out too, with setting it up and playing with it and getting it going. To be fair, I started it last night. I got to a certain point and I just started getting errors. And then I got in this morning and everything was working. I don't know if there was some rollout stuff, but I need to go record some more now. Anyways, there was another event you were telling me about that had some interesting stuff that I was not aware of, because believe it or not, neither one of us are entirely able to stay up 100% on every single bit of news that Microsoft announces.
Oh, come on. Sure we are.
We try.
I mean, you are, clearly. I'm always a little bit behind.
Except for all this stuff you told me about this morning that I had no clue about.
Yes. There was a virtual event. If you follow some of the cloud advocates at Microsoft, particularly the infrastructure advocates, so Rick Kloss and his team, they kind of hosted and moderated an event called the IT Ops Talks, All Things Hybrid. And it was a number of sessions, like 20-some odd sessions, including the keynote, which cover kind of Microsoft hybrid, and particularly Microsoft hybrid in the context of Azure, and kind of how customers can think about that and what some of the impacts are there as you start to implement hybrid, or you start to come into the Microsoft cloud from an on-premises world, or maybe you're in that world today and you think you're doing hybrid successfully, but you haven't kept up with the news. So there might be better ways to do things. Anywho, it's a fairly meaty, lengthy thing. Like if you were going to attend it and watch each session, you're probably talking on the order of like 17 to 20 hours of stuff to get through and watch. If that's not your thing though, I would encourage everyone, like if you're taking a look at Azure Hybrid and you've heard a lot over the last couple of years about things like maybe Arc, Azure Stack Edge, what's the difference between Azure Stack Edge and Azure Stack HCI and the whole hyperconverged infrastructure thing, go watch the keynotes. The keynote was done by Mark Rusinovich, does a great job just kind of laying out what that ecosystem is and what it looks like today and what you might want to think about along the way. If you're thinking about any type of edge computing or any type of hyper-converged infrastructure, or even just kind of connectivity in general between whatever your premises happens to be and the Microsoft cloud. So like, quick 30-minute video. Maybe you get what you need out of the first 15 minutes or the latter half of it, but pretty quick and easy to get through. Then there's a bunch of other sessions in there. They focus on everything from hybrid security. So maybe that's Azure Security Center and tooling like Azure Sentinel. There was also a session on how to secure SMB. So if you're thinking about implementing services, like you're migrating file shares to Azure and maybe you're going with Azure Files, or you're still standing up native servers, and maybe you're doing like DFS namespaces and DFSR, things like that, and presenting those over SMB. A really good talk on how to think about SMB and various versions that are out there and considerations for you. We spend a lot of time on here, or we have at least in the past, talking about things like identity and Azure Active Directory. If you are implementing Azure Active Directory, there is an awesome session in here. It is Ops 106. It's how to be an Azure AD hybrid health hero.
Ooh.
Just go watch it. It is an hour long, but it's a great conversation between some of the advocates and a couple of program managers on the Azure AD side, and particularly program managers who work with customers on a regular basis and kind of bring customer feedback into the product. So you can kind of understand how they get that feedback, how they solicit it, how they churn it internally, and how that manifests back outside, and then their recommendations around features within Azure AD.
So I found the YouTube playlist on here too that we can link to.
I will put links in the show notes to the IT Ops Talk channel and to the playlist for the All Things Hybrid event.
Yeah. I see a WVD one in here.
Yeah. So show notes will be at mscloudITProPodcast/episode216. Just go click the links and you can kind of browse through. Yeah, a couple other ones that I found really good in there. There's a WVD session, as you mentioned, which is laying out the roadmap for WVD. So clearly that's a product that has kind of churned and had some change as it went from kind of V1 to V2 and picked up more ARM support and things along the way. There's a great session on log analytics workspace design. So how do you rationalize the design of your workspaces? Do I have one big workspace? Do I do a workspace per subscription? Do I do a workspace per workload? Like, what are the impacts? What does that mean when I start doing, you know, things like cross query across workspace? Do I need to bring like Azure Data Explorer into the mix? And what happens there? That was a good one. PowerShell deep dive, Lighthouse deep dive. There was an Arc Data deep dive, Azure Stack HCI deep dive. And what was one of the last ones? Oh, I also watched the one on going, it's Ops 113, so Ops 113. It is titled From Windows Server 2008 to Azure with Containers. So if you're interested in understanding how Microsoft thinks about the Windows container ecosystem and modernizing applications from Windows Server 2008 and getting them up and running and thinking about full lifecycle management of applications, like how do you do test and validation and things like that? And how can containers potentially help you? I thought that was a good session as well.
So did you sleep at all with all of these that you've watched already?
I've been watching them at night since they came out. And much like podcasts, I do bad things and watch videos on YouTube at like 2x. So,
yes. Well, I do that as well. There looks like some really good stuff in here. So, I have a question because I always see deep dive and I'm like, well, is it really a deep technical dive? Are these as technical as they sound based on the titles?
Some are. I think when you hear deep dive and you think like level 400 in the back of your head, that's not what some of these sessions are. I would say they're more conversational in nature. Like certainly some of them, like they are interviews between the program managers, like the product managers who own these features and push them out. So you get a good sense for how they think about them, how they see customers implementing them and the potential impacts along the way.
Got it. So are they more like podcast-ish then discussions versus like technical demo heavy sessions or something like that?
It's a mix. Some are certainly like some have slides, some have technical demos, like that Windows Server 2008 to Azure with Containers, like has some really good demos and things going on in there. You know, you kind of got to go pick your poison and go in there. If anything, like, you know, to be honest, if you implement Microsoft stuff at some point, like you learn that maybe you need to know a little bit more than the documentation and you need to start to maybe follow like the people who build the products, like just go look at the video descriptions and pull some names and go follow those people on Twitter or something like that. Like you'll probably get something out of that as well.
Perfect. I need to go watch the Azure AD or the AD Hybrid Health Hero, because I have one client in particular that I am having massive amounts of issues with their Azure AD Connect client not wanting to continue to function. Maybe that will give me some tips. There we are. You probably didn't get into cloud engineering to spend hours manually sifting through layers of data or manually creating reports to understand and explain your Azure costs. Neither did the IT pros at ShareGate, which is why they built ShareGate Overcast. ShareGate Overcast is an Azure cost intelligence tool that reduces manually monitoring and helps you make cost-efficient engineering decisions. And it can help you lower your Azure bill. ShareGate Overcast scans your Azure environment daily and analyzes your cost data. It automatically identifies cost issues and gives you the insights you need to fix problems fast. Plus, with personalized cost savings recommendations, you can be sure you're only paying for the resources you need. Best of all, you can get ShareGate Overcast free. Find out more at ShareGate.com/ITPro. That's ShareGate.com/ITPro.
Did you see in other news around that, the Azure AD Connect Cloud Sync, formerly known as Cloud Provisioning, hit GA2? over the last week.
I did not. I missed that one.
Yes. That is another one we'll have to go in and talk about because I want to play with it and do, because there's some fundamental differences between Azure AD Connect and Azure AD Cloud Connect. That's what it is. So Azure AD Connect and Azure AD Cloud Connect are the two product names now. So there's some fundamental differences there. Times you should use one, times you should choose the other, ways you can use both of them. That could probably be a whole podcast in and of itself.
So specifically, this is cloud provisioning?
So it used to be cloud provisioning, and they renamed it when it was GA'd to Cloud Connect.
Well, it's Azure AD Connect Cloud Sync now. Is that it?
Or? Is that what it is? It's something Azure AD.
Yeah, that's you're talking about the feature that lets you connect to or synchronize from like those multi-forest disconnected AD environments?
Yes, that is it. Azure AD Connect Cloud Sync.
Yes. Yeah.
It used to be provisioning and then they renamed it all and all of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, stuff happens. There was another Azure AD thing as well. If you are an Azure Active Directory premium subscriber,
P1 or P2?
Either one, yes. Just okay. Azure AD premium in general, you might be, or you should be, it might be, you definitely should be happy to hear that as of April 1st, 2021, the SLA is improving specifically for premium customers. The SLA today is three nines. It's 99.9. It is going to four nines. So 99.99, which is awesome because that means you are going from the potential to have 8 hours and 46 minutes of downtime per year at three nines to 52 minutes and 36 seconds of downtime per year at four nines. That's a marked improvement. And certainly Azure AD has had some hiccups over the past couple of years. And yeah, striving to get down to four nines and hopefully more nines in the future is nice to see.
The more nines, the better. So I'm curious, which begs the question, why is this only for premium customers? Is it if you're on premium, do they have more redundant hardware in different data centers? Or in my mind, I would think that if they're going to improve Azure AD, they just do it across the board and give everybody four nines. Unless, again, it has to do with hardware. And if you're premium, you're paying a little bit more. So they're going to give you a little bit more compute power or a little bit more data center space to have more redundancy and more nines?
Yes, but some of this too comes into potentially like features that are part of premium. So maybe like continuous access elevation, having the ability to have like Azure AD backup authentication, all those kinds of things. There's additional infrastructure that maybe supports premium subscribers. Like, yes, it is all Azure AD, but you know, specifically you do have to keep in mind that this is for premium subscribers. I didn't dig too deep into the SLA. Like a lot of the SLAs for Azure are financially backed SLAs. So it could also just be kind of part of the game of saying, you know what, we don't want to have a financially backed SLA that includes everybody who's a basic plus subscriber. There's probably some financial math there.
Right. I suppose you get some of the MFA stuff too, where if you don't have premium, your only option for MFA is the security defaults, which is just the push notification to the authenticator app, and it yes. doesn't include text messaging. So you don't have that extra redundancy there of whatever the push notifications are down, so I want to get a text message now. You would get that with premium, which could, I would suppose, in theory, improve your SLA too, because like you said, you have those additional backup options for MFA.
And the other thing to keep in mind with this one, while uptime is getting that extra nine, the SLA is also going to be updated. So it only includes user authentication and federation. It won't include things like administrative features. There'll be a slight change to the SLA there, is my understanding. But arguably, being able to authenticate is probably the more important thing than being able to maybe get into the Azure portal and flip a setting on an individual user.
Right. Well, and some of that gets into too, right? Like when any of those administrative services go down, is it really Azure AD that's causing that? Or is it the fact that there's something else going on in that admin center where you can still authenticate, you can still log in, but you can't load the site itself for whatever reason.
Yeah, so this one's rapidly coming. Thankfully, they pre-announced it because it is being updated on April 1st. So, you know, you don't want to announce things. Yeah, you don't want to announce things on April Fool's Day. So all those official SLA updates and things will drop in the public SLA documentation on April 1st. But I encourage everybody to go kind of just read through the update and again, see where this is going to.
And go get Azure AD Premium because frankly, there's a lot of good stuff from a security standpoint in Azure AD Premium. Coming from a non-Microsoft employee that's not trying to drive consumption, if you were to buy one additional thing on top of a standard Office 365 plan, upgrade to Azure AD Premium is my opinion. My two cents.
Yeah, it's not a bad one. You know, if you go watch that Azure AD hybrid health talk I mentioned earlier, one of the very first things they talk about is, will everybody just please turn on MFA and like get that going? Like, we don't understand why we still have to tell people to turn on MFA.
Yeah.
I chuckled a little bit at that one. Like, I thought that was a good one.
Well, and I think security defaults has actually made it harder for people to turn on MFA because of they took away some of the control over MFA in a basic Azure AD environment when they went to security defaults.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know the goal was, yay, now we can just flip a switch. We don't have to go in and do all this configuration stuff, but it's so much of a black box with security defaults. And again, they took away some of the text messaging and some of that stuff that I think in some respects, it's made people more leery to flip that on. I don't know, just my speculation, two cents. Theorizing, hypotheses, whatever you want to call it.
All the theories.
But with that, I have a meeting in 15 minutes. And we've been going for probably a good amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. As always, it's a pleasure. Thanks, Ben.
Definitely. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk to you later.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.